League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey everybody, welcome to the press. It's great to have you here for the start of a new week. We've got the Mexico Open at the Danta this week on the PGA Tour. We've got the DP World Tour back at the Magical Kenya Open. We've got the LPGA back on the schedule. They're starting their winter Asian swing in Thailand. And then we've got the Champions Tour in Morocco starting on Thursday. It's a pretty big slate this week, pretty full slate of action. And there's plenty to talk about. I'm going to combine two shows today because we're going to combine the kind of first impressions and model, current form, course fit, horse for course type stuff into one show because I'm going to be traveling for a family golf trip starting tomorrow. And the odds are I would not otherwise get this information out there because probably the second I get off the plane, there's going to be a lot of drinking, to be honest with you. So I'd rather do this sober now and save myself some time and pain. I will try to do a Wednesday show and talk about the other events of the week. Maybe we'll even just do it here. We'll just kind of do it all together at once. But we'll talk about that a little bit. The LPGA odds aren't up yet. They're usually lagging behind. At least last time I checked, they might be at this point. And then we will have some other numbers from the Kenya Open. We can talk about that a little bit. So, plenty to get to here. Let's at least start with kind of where we are in the market, opening lines for this week. There's, again, not a great field assembled for this tournament. We have four top 50 players in the world. Just a heads up before we get to any of this, if you are on DraftKings or bet through DraftKings, you can get a plus 300 addition to any outright winner bet. So think about that through what we talk about the lines from this book. Think about that through that prism for this week. There's not a lot to work with here. Again, four top 50 players, defending champion Tony Finau, Nicolai Højgaard, Emiliano Grillo, and Ryan Fox. There's your top 50 players. That's it. This is the worst event on the PGA Tour schedule so far this year, and frankly, probably the worst all season. It's meant to be kind of a gap between the West Coast swing and the Florida swing, which will start the week after and go on for the rest of the month, right, leading into the Texas Open, and then you get to the Masters. And this event is the third year for the tournament. We've had two great winners the first 2 years. You had Jon Rahm win over Tony Finau in the first year, and then in the second year, Tony Finau won over Jon Rahm. It was an interesting tournament kind of both years, but that was because of the name players who got to the top of the leaderboard. We have not really had that much this year. We finally had a little bit of juice on Sunday with Hideki Matsuyama shooting 62 while everybody else kind of went sideways and he wound up turning a six-shot deficit into a three-shot win. But other than that, we have really not had a whole lot to work with in terms of golf interest. We've had tons of super long-shot winners. Hideki, I believe, was 60-1 pre-tournament, and we did talk about him on this show, and I kind of liked him, but not liked him enough to bet him. And certainly after the first couple of rounds, I didn't like him at all. And a buddy of mine who I talk golf betting with and other betting positions with, he texted me. And shout out to Dubs Anderson over at FanDuel TV, who encouraged people to bet Hideki at 90-1 and wound up coming home. But I think when something like this happens, where, and this has happened both signature events in a row, where you had Wyndham Clark shoot 60, and he winds up, turns out to be the final round, winds up taking the tournament. And then you've got Matsuyama shoot 62, and really it was the back 930 that did it, and he wins the tournament from way behind. That, in one sense, if you won, obviously you're as happy to cash the ticket as anybody. It doesn't matter how you won. But at the same time, there's some lessons to be taken away from this. And one is that sometimes you can win even if you pick the wrong golfer. I mean, the reality is, neither of those guys should have won. If you probably played the final round at Pebble, you probably had Oberg won, or you probably would have had Scheffler win, just kind of reality, because it's really hard to follow up a super low one with another one that's even competitive. And you've got Hideki, who was the beneficiary of Patrick Cantlay making 9 pars in a row, and Xander Schauffele not playing well, and then you got Luke List, who backed down, and Will Zalatoris made a good run, but he's still a very suspect putter, and his putter may actually be illegal, so we'll talk about that on 2 off the first, but the lie angle on that putter is at least dynamically not, I think, within USGA regulations. That's a whole other can of worms to open. And you have, so you got, if you got the winner, cool, great. But did you pick the right golfer? I mean, it cashed, but was your analysis, you're trying to look for a player that plays a great tournament. He didn't play a bad tournament up until that point, but he was still 6 shots behind going into the final day. By the same token, you know, I picked Adam Scott and won it done. He finished T19. If he played 7 holes of the tournament better, he might have won. And it's stuff like that where you're like, come on. You pick good players, you make good choices, and you can still not win. You can make more dubious choices. I don't think Matsuyama was a bad choice. I don't think Wyndham Clark was a bad choice to win. But they weren't the right choice until something crazy happens. And that's something to take away from this, good and bad. You can make a bad decision, relatively speaking, and still win. You can make a good decision and still lose. And there's also value to be found in players that are 4, 5, 6 shots back going into the final day. Does that happen often? No, that does not happen often. But so far in this topsy-turvy year, that can happen. And that's been exhibited here at Riviera. So when you're thinking about live betting, and we will do a show on live betting, not this week, we'll do it next week, as kind of a Thursday show, an additional show. But when you're thinking about live betting, you have to think about kind of time and score, what players have done throughout a tournament. And it's really easy to kind of think about those kinds of things. But the one thing that I think is very hard to handicap is explosiveness. It is the ability to throw up a mega low number while everyone just goes sideways and your guy wins. You can't account for that. I don't think that you can. It's more of a hunch play than anything else. And if you had the right hunch, you got paid. Cool. But also want to make sure that you're not, you can play hunches. It's okay to play hunches. But over the long haul, those hunches will be penalized. They won't win. You want to play more soundly based on the data, the simplistic view of data that you have available, especially in a tournament. Because if you try to break down what players do from one round to the next, there's not enough sample size. There's not enough shots to tell you what that data really means in 1 round, 2 round, even 3 rounds. And it's very hard to try to dig in on the weeds. I don't like that approach anyway, but even if you are one of those types of people, it's an even worse idea to do it then. So it's very important to kind of understand limitations of what you can learn from a player in 2 or 3 rounds worth of golf. And know you're going to take some guesses, but over the long haul, your discipline toward understanding players and what they do and how they play is going to be a better approach in the long haul. But that doesn't mean you're not going to have days like, or weekends like this past one, or, you know, or at Pebble, or at Phoenix. I mean, holy crap. It's been a crazy year for betting. So that all said, let's get into opening lines for this week at Vedanta. Vedanta Vallarta is a golf course that is about 7,450 yards. It does not play that long. It's pretty quick. It's at sea level. So, I mean, it's not, you're not getting a height advantage, elevation advantage, but tends to kind of play a little bit shorter. It is wide open. It is hard to miss short grass at this golf course. You can, but it's hard to. This golf course tends to benefit the longer player. We have seen that 2 years in a row. Is that enough of a sample size to tell you you should do this with absolute conviction that the longer player is the way to go? No, I don't think that's long enough, but the reality is that's what we've got. We also don't have strokes gained data about this course, so we really just have finish data and may have strokes gained in aggregate based off of scoring averages, but not based on components. So that all said, here's top of the table. Tony Finau 6.5-1. That's silly. That's ridiculous. You should not bet that. Even if you took the odd surge from DraftKings and made it 9.5-1. I think that's stupid. Don't do that. Please don't. If he wins, cool. Then fine. That's the first time all year favorites won. And we can live with that. But 6.5-1 is no. Scottie Scheffler was 7.5-1 last week against a field of elite golfers. And you have four top 50 players here. 132 of them in total, but you have four top 50 players. Let's just understand this for what it is. If you're going to bet a favorite, you bet Nikolai Højgaard. 16-1 as he stands, 19-1 with a surge. You'd probably get a cap on that. But 19-1, that is the best play here. He plays great desert golf. I think you can see a comparison to desert golf here. Plays well in the wind. He hits the crap out of the ball. He's played well in the DP World Tour against weak fields. He played well against their stronger fields. He is a future top 15 golfer in the world, most likely. He's the guy to hammer. Miliano Grillo 20-1. No thanks. Taylor Pendrith 22-1. Very interested. Playing well. Had a good fall. Played well at Torrey. Likes long golf courses. Drive it with impunity. I'll take Taylor Pendrith 22 or 25-1. Steven Yeager, no thank you. Torbjørn Olsen, no thank you. Tom Dietrich 25-1. I like that. Hits it long enough, likes long golf courses, can play well in the wind. I very much like Thomas Dietrich this week. Ryan Fox, I like. Not as much, just because he doesn't have the same exposure to these courses as some of these players on the PGA Tour. But I do like his game a whole lot. I like his quality of play. Patrick Rodgers is also 30-1. He's been exactly 10th place here 2 years in a row. He's not playing great golf at the moment. He's not playing horrible golf, but he is not playing his best golf at the moment. You kind of counterbalance that with his course record and you go with that. I can see the argument for that, but I would rather drop down and bet Jake Knapp at 35-1 or Keith Mitchell at 30-1. Keith Mitchell hits it far enough. He's playing pretty well. He pops in my model. I think he's second in my model. We'll get back to that in a minute. Jake Knapp played great at the Farmers Insurance Open. Likes long golf courses. Hits it very far. Has done well on the Korn Ferry Tour, where you can hit it pretty much anywhere that you want. I like him at 35-1. Davis Thompson, 35-1 is pretty interesting. Brandon Wu at 35-1, I think is a worthwhile play. Mac Hughes at 45-1, I think it's just too short. He's just not long enough. Cameron Champs, 45-1. Again, showed out here both years. He's playing bad golf, and he's 45-1. I would rather go to a Justin Suh at 50-1 or Austin Eckrode at 50-1. And take those guys instead. Skip Mark Hubbard. Love him, but not here. Aaron Rye, no thanks. Not far enough. Doug Gim is playing really good golf. He's got a couple top 15s in the last five events. I can get behind him. He pops well here in the model. 55-1. Alejandro Tosti, who came off the Korn Ferry Tour, played well here a year ago. I haven't seen enough from him to suggest that he's comfortable on the PGA Tour yet. Michael Kim, 60-1. No, but I would like Maverick McNealy at 60-1. I think he's starting to figure some things out. He does tend to do well against crappier fields. He's a guy, I think, who will eventually figure it out. And he's long enough. He hits it far off the tee. He's not particularly accurate. 51-52% fairways in regulation. That's not really doing a whole lot. But on this golf course, he's going to hit more fairways because it's wide open. So his distance should be an asset. And his relative lack of putting and even relatively poor approach play should kind of level itself out. So I like him here. A couple 60s. Otherwise, Johnny Vegas, Charlie Hoffman. Nope. Sam Stevens, 65-1, along with S.H. Kim and Chesson Hadley. Pass for me. Vincent Norman, 70-1, I am interested in. Chris Goddard up is 70-1. Matt Wallace is 75-1. Vaguely interested in that because he's won in this kind of environment. Tropical environment, longer golf course, 7,400 yards, susceptible to wind, not a whole lot to get in the way. I'm cool with all of that. I like what he brings to the table here. Scott Stallings, 80-1. Parker Cootie, 80-1. I want to say Cody. Cootie. Nate Lashley, 80-1, actually pops in my model, but so he might be worth a look here. KH Lee, 80-1. Alex Smalley, 80-1. Your 90s. Alex Bjork, Carson Young, J.J. Spawn, who was not good last week, Victor Perez. Victor Perez does kind of interest me a little bit at 90-1 because of his ability to play desert golf, and I think that works a little bit. But I'd rather look at Alexander Bjork here. He's such a good ball striker. He doesn't gain strokes off the tee really, so he can kind of go after it this week. Really play well, tee to green. I think he's a long enough number that's interesting. He did not play particularly well at Torrey though. Sammy Valimaki at 100-1 is just interesting enough that you might want to fire on him. Then you get into like Grayson Sig, 110-1, kind of interesting. Andrew Novak, 110-1, pretty interesting. Matty Schmid's kind of interesting at 130-1. I mean, I'm trying to think of guys that are a little bit deeper. Cristobal Del Solar, the guy who shot 57 a couple weeks ago with the Korn Ferry Tours in this tournament, 150-1. He is the same as Adrien Dumont-Deschassard, who's been terrible since getting to the PGA Tour. I would take Del Solar over Dumont-Deschassard. Just kind of how I feel about it. Dylan Wu is interesting, 150-1. Worth a look at least. Man, this is nothing but pain this week, to be honest with you. I mean, just true pain looking through this field. But you know kind of where the top name. If you want to take a big shot on somebody, Callum Tarran. Hits the ball a long way. I think I bet him here last year. Gave me an okay, buzz for a couple days to at least care about him. He's not playing good golf at all, but if you want someone to kind of come out of nowhere, he's a long hitter. I kind of like that at 250-1. This is, again, I'm going to double, triple underscore this whole week. Is not good. It is not good for betting. It is not good for trying to wager a lot of money. If you want to have action this week, please don't have a lot of it. It's just not, it's not to your benefit. Even, take your chances on your favorites here this week. You're shorter than 50-1 shots. Add your plus 300 to it. Get Nick Leihoegaard at nearly 20-1. And just kind of hope that it works out. Make this a whole lot simpler on yourself. Save some bankroll. Get ready for next week. And let's do this the right way. Okay? Don't blow a whole lot of money this week. Otherwise, no. You're doing it to yourself. I'm not even going to look at the like playoff specials or winning margin or any of that kind of stuff this week. I want to keep this card super limited. I don't want you super exposed here this week. I mean, just take a little break. Go bet something else, please. But if you must, I think you got to stay shorter than probably 60-1, because once you get into like the 80s, 100s, I mean, you can take those chances if you want, but for nothing more than like a pizza bet. Like $1, $2, $5, $10, whatever your, one-tenth of a unit, 20% of a unit, whatever that is for you. Whether that's, again, $1, $2, $5, $10, whatever it is. Please do that if you're going to take longer shots here. And if you get paid, cool. If not, you didn't really lose anything. I would very strongly emphasize that this week, because I think you're setting yourself up for a whole lot of pain otherwise. All right, so let's get in the model. Normally we do this in a second show, but again, just trying to get this done in one show so you can just consume it all at once. Why make up separate shows? There's no need for that. We go over the top 10 usually here, then we'll talk past that for a couple of folks, but generally speaking, after the top 10, you need to be a subscriber at Golf News Net, $40 a year. Very easy to subscribe. You can do it for 1 week for $10. Obviously, we're encouraging you to do it for the full year for $40, but it is a 7-day, $10 membership. If you'd like to do it that way. Why you would use it on this tournament, I have no clue. But you could, if you would like, have at it. Okay, this week, top 10 I think feels pretty obvious, but it's not entirely. All right, number one, Tony Finau, pretty significantly ahead. Now, the scores this week are way lower because when I do my modeling, we include what are quality strokes gained. So the quality of your strokes gained relative to your competition multiplied against the official world golf ranking points for the week, basically. And so the top score, Tony Finau, is 1.12. Last week it was 2.9 because we were measuring against events where the winner got anywhere from 60 to 80 points. Or I think it was 55 to 75 points. Yeah, 55 to 75 points in official world golf ranking first place points. So that translates to a multiplier of 1.1 to 1.5 So this week, a little bit different, right? Because the official world golf ranking, winner's going to get like 28, 30 points, something like that, 32 points. So your multiplier is like 0.5 to 0.7. You're going to just have a lowered point total. So don't let that alarm you. Keith Mitchell, second. Good reasons to like him this week. Doug Gim is third. Good reasons to like him playing well. Mark Hubbard's fourth. He plays well against bad fields. And that's really where he comes up here over the last couple of years. Tom Dietrich, fifth. Taylor Pendrith, sixth. Nate Lashley, seventh, believe it or not. Steven Yeager, eighth. Aaron Rye, ninth. S.H. Kim, 10th. Andrew Novak, 11th, who a lot of people like. Maverick McNealy, 12th. Anyone else worth pointing out? Nikolai Højgaard, 20th. We don't have a big sample size. Jake Knapp, 21. Again, not a huge sample size on the PGA Tour. Okay. I think all of that makes sense. None of that's particularly tricky. Steven Yeager, I would throw out because he doesn't hit it very far relative to these guys. I would throw out Mark Hubbard for the same reason. Aaron Rye for the same reason. Aaron Rye can be interesting to me, though, because he's a guy who's good in the wind. I mean, the weather forecast can change pretty rapidly, right, on a coastal golf course. So that could work in his favor, just kind of being a mutter, kind of grinder's grinder. But and he's won in those types of conditions on a longer golf course at Fairmont St. Andrews. However, I don't think that's going to be the case. I would, if anything, Aaron Rye is kind of like a live bet, if you're feeling me. And frankly, that maybe that's the thing to side on this week, is live bets, because a lot of the pre-tournament stuff is just not attractive unless you want to get like a Højgaard or a Pendrith, Tom Dietrich, you know, those guys. They'll get short really quickly if they show any signs. Definitely McNealy. I mean, if McNealy shows any kind of sign, he's going from 50, 60 to 1 to 20 or 10 real quick. So maybe one of the few guys you want to bet pre-tournament because of that are those two, those guys in the 20s, mid-20s, and then McNealy, if you want to take any of them. Otherwise, I would probably steer toward live betting, to be honest with you. So that's top 10 and some extras for the week. And then just horse for course stuff we'll go over. There are only four players who have been in the top 15 here in the last 2 years that are still playing it. Cam Champ, Tony Finau, Patrick Rogers, Brandon Wu. There are only two players in this field with multiple top 10s, or excuse me, multiple top 15s the last five tournaments played. Dung Gim, Farmers Insurance Open, tough golf course. Phoenix Open, kind of fast golf course. So I do like him quite a bit, even though he's not that long. And then Kevin Yu played well at the Dome Golf, you know, event, the Amex, and the Farmers Insurance Open. So there's that. We don't have course fit data here because we don't get strokes gain data. We don't have that for this tournament, so there's nothing really to work with there. And there's really not a lot to work with in terms of course history and tournament history. Big old thing of nothing. So it's kind of weird this week, to be honest with you. But I just wanted to get all that information out to you in one big show. I don't have to drag this on, especially because the model stuff is pretty quick and there's not a whole lot to look through in terms of quality of field. But there you go. That's it. I will not probably recommend much more than what I talked about pre-tournament. I think it's kind of silly to bet on this tournament this week, but I'm committed to doing these shows. So I want to tell you, at least if you're going to put some money to work, do it very sensibly. Have a lot of discipline. Frankly, the best discipline you have this week is to bet nothing. But if you got to bet something, you got to have a little rush. That's where I would tell you to go this week based on the odds and modeling and horse for course and all that good stuff. I'm going to keep the LPGA stuff separate. Those odds are not up yet. Kenya Open odds are. I probably won't even tell you to bet anything Morocco related because that's just silly. But we will talk about the LPGA. I will try to do just a quick hitter either tomorrow or Wednesday on the LPGA and the Kenya Open. And that's going to be it for me for the week. I hope you have a great week. If you do decide to bet this, you are a true real one. Bless you for that. Hopefully you're successful. If not, hey, hopefully you don't bet much. And we get to live to fight another week. Get a hold of me, Ryan, at thegolfnewsnet.com. Happy to talk golf betting with you. If you want to join golfnewsnet.com for $40 a year, I would greatly appreciate that too. But you don't have to. Keep doing these shows for free. And get a hold of me on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, Blue Sky, at Ryan Ballingy. I am on Facebook and YouTube at Ryan Ballingy Golf. Golf News Net is on all of those platforms at the handle Golf News Net. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you for a quick short show on the LPGA and the Kenya Open. Otherwise, good luck with your bets this week.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.